darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. That's Psalm 33:12. And with that wonderful verse of scripture, I welcome you to this edition of the Hamilton Corner. Alex McFarland here, sitting in for attorney, pastor, broadcaster Abe Hamilton III. Very, very honored to be on the Hamilton Corner. We've got a great show tonight. We really do. And, you know, with our nation celebrating our 250th birthday, think about that, a quarter millennia. The United States of America has existed, and what a blessing. And we're going to talk about something that is just uplifting to a lot of people. I've got a dear friend I want you to meet in just a few moments. But let me say this. Many of you know that for 27 years, our ministry, we've done biblical worldview events all around the country, and it's been my joy. You know, I was a youth pastor in Greensboro, North Carolina, and I just wanted my kids to be able to not lose their faith when they'd go away to college. I would have, you know, kids from my youth group, some of the best and the brightest that I had, and they'd go away to, you know, Duke or Chapel Hill, and they would hear a lot of things that would challenge not only their Christian faith, but even their loyalty to America. So in the 1990s, we began to book a lot of speakers and bring them to Greensboro, and I began to rent the Greensboro Coliseum like three times. You know, looking back, I don't know how God gave me the vision and maybe the courage to do that, but we would go and we would rent the Greensboro Coliseum and bring in speakers. One time we brought in Coach Tom Landry of the Dallas Cowboys, had 8,000 teenagers come out to hear Coach Landry. And little did I know that I would be renting lots of theaters over the course of my adult life. And so God's been really good to us. We've done 51 citywide events over the years, all over America, thousands of attendees, several hundred speakers we've booked. And a couple of years ago, we began to set our sights on Myrtle Beach, the Grand Strand. And, you know, last year we brought in speakers like Dinesh D'Souza, Gary Chapman, who wrote The Five Love Languages, Charlie Kirk, just 2.5 weeks before he got killed. And I want to tell you, folks, I've never had a better experience anywhere throughout the USA than the experience of renting the Greg Rolls Legacy Theater in North Myrtle Beach. Now, 22 million people a year go to the Myrtle Beach area from all 50 states. And part of the reason that we love to minister down here, and we've brought Abe Hamilton down before, Jenna Ellis, a lot of great people. But if you've never been to the Grand Strand, I mean, it's fantastic. The restaurants, the golf, the ocean. But you need to know about the Greg Rolls Legacy Theater. For one thing, we're doing several of our Conversations That Matter events there this year. And we'll be bringing in incredible speakers like Eric Metaxas, one of the biggest-selling Christian authors of our lifetime. And the Greg Rolls Legacy Theater is named for a man named Greg Rolls. He's a singer, he's a musician. I'm proud to say he's a friend, and he is with us now. And it's a great privilege to talk with the namesake of the theater, Greg Rolls himself. Greg, welcome to the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for being with us.
Alex, you're so welcome. What an incredible introduction. Wow. I kept looking over my shoulder like, who's he talking about? That's incredible. Thank you for that.
Well,
you're gonna be here June 20th, your first appearance here this year.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. One of our, we're starting a tour across America called Revive US. And yes, yeah, at the Greg Rolls Legacy Theater, June 20th, we're going to have a revival meeting. And we'll, believe me, folks, we're going to, as we get a little bit closer, tell you more and more about that. But for those that may not know, I want to hear your story, Greg. How did God bring you to where you are in your life and career, brother?
Thanks, Alex. For, you know, I love listening to people's story, and people always ask me about, you know, point A to Z. I'm not sure if I got the Z yet, but anyway, I grew up in a family band back in Fredericksburg, Virginia. Literally falling asleep on dance hall tables at the age of four, watching my dad play music. And those were incredibly impressionable years when it came to music, just because I wanted to be like my dad. He was my hero. And he sang and played guitar. And I thought, well, man, if it's good enough for him, it's good enough for me. And dad was a civil engineer by trade, but he played on the weekends. So we formed a family band, and at 13, that was my first professional performance for the Jerry Lewis Telethon, the Washington D.C. leg of that.
We had a family band.
It was my mom, my dad, my brother, my cousin, my aunt. We were called the Nashville Connection. And so all those years, Friday and Saturday nights, we were playing. I tell everybody we played the animal circuit. We played the Elks Lodge, Eagles Lodge, and Moose Lodge. And had a lot of fun doing it. But I grew up on stage literally with mom and dad. And dad originally did this to get us in the kitchen, just kind of keep the family close together, keep them tight, keep us, you know, talking and visiting with each other. I don't think he ever thought that we would take it that seriously, that we wanted to go out and play for a living and make money doing this. And when we did, and I did that through my middle school year, through my high school years, through those college, and then moved to Nashville.
Now, what was your set list? I mean, what were the types of songs that you did?
So anything, Alex, then that played on the country radio at the time in the late 70s, early 80s, all the way through the, you know, late 80s, we tried to play those songs. But we also, dad grew up playing the old 50s and 60s rock and roll, so we played a lot of those standards also. Anything with a good beat, we found that people love. People love things that they could dance to. But what I found out early on was that people came back to see people. Mom and dad would have us go visit the tables between sets and thank everybody for coming. And so just like everything else, everything's relational. So mm-hmm. people came back to see people. We gave them a good beat, but they liked us as people. So they would follow us around and became really family. And I do that every single night here at the theater. I thank people for coming. You know, there's so many places to go be entertained. I want to make sure that they know how much we appreciate them being here, taking time, their hard-earned money, to come and allowing us to entertain them.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you. And folks, if you're just tuning in, we're having a conversation with Greg Rolls, well-known of the Greg Rolls Legacy Theater in North Myrtle Beach. Give your website. Then I want to point something out to folks. But Greg, what's your website?
Yeah, it's gregrollslegacytheater.com or GRLTNMB, NMB being NorthMyrtleBeach.com. You can find it either way. If you Google it, it'll pop right up for you.
Sure. And Rolls, your last name is spelled R-O-W-L-E-S, right?
Yeah, thanks, Alex.
I want to say thank you. In your shows, I mean, you honor God and country. It's great, patriotic. It's world-class. I mean, it's comparable to anything you would hear, you know, in New York, Las Vegas. I mean, it's top drawer. But you've got the gospel, you've got the patriotic, and you've got something for everybody. And thank you for doing that, Greg.
Alex, you're welcome. You know, it hasn't always been that way. I didn't find the Lord till I was 37, and I'll be 61. And I will tell you, I was playing across the country at fairs and festivals, all these casinos, and I won Ed McMahon's Star Search, but after that, the star faded quickly, and my gigs became fewer and far between. So I found myself working for a temp agency in Nashville, and I was parking cars off the Autobahn for Nissan, Xterras, and Altimas, and I put them up on train cars, and I went across this gravel parking lot one day. And in these raggedy old jeans and T-shirt and steel-toed shoes. And the week before, I was headlining Harrah's. And, you know, flash bulbs going off. And anyway, I walked across this parking lot, and I got down on my knees, and I said, God, I'm lost. Can you help me? I said, I don't know what I'm doing, but I sure don't enjoy doing this. Can you help me? And 2 weeks later, Opryland USA had called me, the folks that I worked for in Nashville at the show park there at Opryland USA before I won Star Search. They called and said, hey, there's an MC gig we'd like you to consider in Myrtle Beach at the Alabama Theater. Would you consider doing it? And I said, no, I've been to Myrtle Beach and it's awful. I came here for a 96 and camped, but I was camping in the middle of a hurricane and didn't even know it. So my impressions of Myrtle Beach were not, you know, they were not fond ones. So I went back and talked to them again. And lo and behold, we found ourselves here in Myrtle Beach. And a couple years later, Brandy, my bride, who you've met also mm-hmm. and know, she grew up Christian and wanted to get back into church. And I grew up the CEO. I was Christmas, Eastern occasionally, you know, at church. That's the only time you found me there. You know, if somebody died or somebody got married, I was singing for them. And so we started going to church, and we were baptized together on Easter Sunday in 2002. But I remember coming out of that water thinking, okay, God, I'm good. You're good with me. I'm good with you. And Brandy came home the next week. She said, okay, let's get up and go to church. I said, well, Sundays are my day off. I deserve to sleep in on Sundays. That's my day, not the Lord's day. It's my day. Anyway, she started reading her Bible, and I'd get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, Alex, and she was in the kitchen reading her Bible. And I thought, oh my gosh, I've married this Jesus freak, you know? And, the closer she got to Jesus, the more I think I resented her, because I was no longer number one in the family. And so I started to sleep on the couch. And despite me, she let me sleep on the couch. And right, that went on for a couple months. And I came home one night and she said, you know, you're not the guy that's here to lead our family. I think I want you to leave. And that was very sobering for me to hear. And I remember begging to stay at the house. And I slept on the couch. A couple nights later, I came home from a show. And as I did every night, I kissed my kids goodnight. And I got under this rickety old ceiling fan in the middle of the living room, just off of that couch. And I had the same conversation that I had 2 years earlier in that gravel parking lot, parking those Nissans. And I said, God, I'm lost. Can you help me? And I got back up on that couch. And a couple days later, she came home with a book by Max Lucado called A Love Worth Giving, based on the, you know, Corinthians 1, the love chapter. And I wasn't a big reader, but she asked me to read this book with her. So over the course of a month, she'd read a little bit every night. I'd read a little bit every night. After about 2 weeks, she invited me into the bedroom. And I remember a couple of weeks after that, we kissed again for the very first time. And it's been baby steps ever since then. But I never thought I would have been involved in ministry. I was part of a praise team. And then I ended up planning a church and becoming a music pastor for 7.5 years. And that's Amen. Been a while ago. It was one of the most rewarding jobs and the toughest jobs I've ever had in my life.
Yeah.
But it, again, such a magical time. So everybody's walk is different. And I truly believe that we're wanderers. You know, God said he went after the one sheep, you know, he left the other 99 and he went after the one. And there's so many of those ones out there that I've met just like me that, you know, they stray away from the shepherd. They stray away from God. And God is so patient and so loving that he cares so much that he would go and get you.
Amen.
That he needs you that much. He wants you that much. Not that he needs you, you need him, but he wants you that much.
And Amen.
He did that. And I think he's done that with me several times, you know, to be honest, Alex.
Hey, Greg, hold that thought. Forgive me, we've got a break coming up here. Alex McFarland here. We're talking with Greg Rolls of the Greg Rolls Legacy Theater in North Myrtle Beach, where we'll be on June 20th and else other times this year as well. Stay tuned. More with Greg Rolls on this edition of the Hamilton Corner on the American Family Radio Network. We've got a brief break, and we'll be back.
A Discipleship Minute with Joseph Parker.
Love gives. Love seeks to bless. Love seeks to carry out the work and the will of God. That's an important truth to understand. You know, the world often will say, I love you because you're pretty. I love you because you give me money, or all sorts of things. But genuine love isn't a love that says, I love you because. Someone says they love you, but they're always asking you for this and that, and they say, I love you, so you should do this for me. Again, that doesn't sound like love based on what the Word of God teaches us. John 3:16 tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, when we're evangelizing and doing the work of disciple making, we're loving people. Remember, the Word of God and the Spirit of God teach us to live a lifestyle of ministry, reaching out to a world that desperately needs to be touched by the love of God.
Shining light into the darkness. This is the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the program. It's a great honor to be sitting in for Abe Hamilton. If you recognize my voice, it's probably from a show called Exploring the Word that we've done now for 16 years. And Exploring the Word is heard Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 Central, 4 to 5 Eastern. And in the time zone of your choice, it's always a great honor to be sitting in for Abe Hamilton, and a great honor to be talking to my friend and colleague, Greg Rolls of the Greg Rolls Legacy Theater. I want to get back to his testimony, but let me just say, if you're traveling this summer, hey, look, you need to come to the Grand Strand. For one thing, you'll eat some great seafood. Probably. You might come to one of our Conversations That Matter events, but the show there, Music and Memories at the Greg Rolls Legacy Theater, what I've heard of your band and the music, I know you do, sometimes you do some Elvis, don't you, Greg?
Yes, Alex, and thank you. We do a little bit of everything. You know, I think our theater is different in this day and age because we are 100% live. There are no vocal tracks in the show. There are no instrument tracks in the show. We have incredible musicians, world-class cast. You know, if you to put the years together of this entire troupe, you're talking about over 420 years of professionalism on stage, and the resumes are a mile long from all these folks. And I'm humbled to share the stage with them. But you know, we're right here on Main Street in North Myrtle Beach, as you know, which is iconic. The birthplace of Vanna White, you know, she's like our hometown girl, and the home of the Shag, the state dance of South Carolina, and so much history up and down Main Street. And here we are now honored to be such a big presence on Main Street. You can't miss our building. It started out as a theater in 89, and it was a church, I think, mm-hmm. as you know, for years before the church built a larger sanctuary. And we took it from a church back to a theater setting. And basically, my partner, Brad, who you're friends with also, Brad Alexander, gutted it and redesigned it, and state-of-the-art sound and lights and comfortable seating. It's just, and it's a 793-seat venue now, and I call it our living room. And that's the way I want everybody to feel, is that they're in our living room to be entertained every night.
Well, you know, and something else that maybe we'll talk about this another day, but this area, Highway 17, which is also called King's Highway, that goes, you know, pretty much from the North Carolina state line, you know, down the seaboard, historians call this the cradle of American evangelism, that missionaries from Europe were coming here almost for the last 400 years. And the gospel, the message of Jesus Christ, was really seeded into this region. There's a very famous evangelist, George Whitefield. Greg, and this is the guy that led Benjamin Franklin to Christ. Whitefield would do outdoor preaching, you know, probably right where your theater sits. So, I mean, there's so much history here. And folks, if you're coming, you will not be disappointed, I promise you. But
I did great. After you kind of gave me that little tidbit, and I did, I found a lot of that same information. I had no idea that this area was known to be so rich in history with the teaching of the gospel.
Exactly. Hey, we're almost out of time for this segment, but Greg, I want to circle back before the break. You were talking about how you were kind of at a crossroads and you cried out to the Lord and Jesus was there for you. What do you give a word to somebody listening, and they might be right at that same juncture, and they're just wondering, you know, what's my purpose? What am I here for? Does God have something for me? What do you say to that person, Greg?
I think, well, first of all, there's hope. For me, Jesus gave me hope, and I found that he was truly listening to me. And looking back, I found out he was listening all along. But I think a lot of people, and maybe even me, you know, people don't, they make religion complicated. And I kind of equate it to my wife, my kids. The more I talk to them, the better I get to know them. The more I trust them, the better they get to know me. And I find that same thing with God. I talk to him throughout the day.
Amen.
And it's not just the foxhole Christian. You know, I used to be the foxhole Christian. Yeah, just get mad at this God, and I'll never do it again. You know, those conversations. I promise you, I'll never, whatever that circumstance happens to be. Now it's conversational. I'm just riding down the road, and I just talk. And I truly believe there are those quiet places where he speaks to you. He speaks to you in different ways. And sometimes there are those earthly angels that come alongside you, like Brandy, that gave me that book by Max Lucado. That was a God wink for me. That the folks pulling me into their office back years ago after I'd asked God for help, that was a God wink. So now I'm looking for him. I'm waiting for him to speak. And I would say for somebody that is just maybe completely just downtrodden for whatever circumstances they're going in their lives, and sometimes it takes that, Alex. You have to be sometimes in maybe a lonely place, a dark place, where you're receptive, you're open to listen to those things. And I know that God loves intercessor prayer. So I'll be praying. I pray every day for people that have not received that gift of salvation yet. And I know there may be somebody listening tonight that was just like me going, man, I am lost. I'm lost. My only words of advice would be just say, God, can you help me? Can you help me? I've made so many mistakes in my life. I'm not perfect, but I need help, and I need your help.
You know, Greg, one of my favorite verses, that's beautiful. Thank you, Greg. John 6, verse 37, the Gospel of John, Jesus said this, and so this will be in red ink in your Bible, folks. This is the words of Jesus. He said, the one who comes to me, I will in no way reject. So listeners, I mean, that was Greg Rolls, that was me, that might be you right this minute. If you turn to Christ, his arms are open. Well, Greg, we got to pull away right now, brother, but I look forward to hearing your shows this year, your fantastic musicians, and as you said, no lip syncing. If you want to hear live music and hear it done well, a show that will lift you up, the Greg Rolls Legacy Theater in North Myrtle Beach, that's the place.
I'm praying for your ministries, buddy. Looking forward to seeing you.
Right on. Thanks, brother. Alex McFarland here, folks. This is the American Family Radio Network, and we're going to kind of segue now. And another thing very near and dear to my heart are our veterans. My dad was a decorated World War II vet. My dad was in a plane crash in World War II. One survivor, it was my dad, and that's pretty key to me being here. Whenever I hear of somebody that's ministering to our servicemen and women, my respect for them is just off the charts. And we're going to talk to Damon Friedman. He's a decorated U.S. Marine Corps officer. He transferred to the Air Force as a special warfare officer. He retired, served our country more than 20 years. He retired as a lieutenant colonel, and he's doing some very, very unique things to give purpose and health to our veterans. And he established SOF Missions. We're going to hear about that. But Dr. Friedman, thanks for holding and welcome to the American Family Radio Network.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. I'm actually a fan of the great work in broadcasting. So it's a pleasure to be here, my friend.
Well, God bless you. Thank you very much. And listen, I'm impressed because you're currently working on a master's of public administration at Harvard. Am I right about that?
Yeah, I was honored. Harvard University recruited me to take this degree, but it's a focus on the expansion of the work that we're doing. They're going to help develop a strategic plan that will make us the largest nonprofit, greatest network of providing free medical care to veterans across the nation. And they were so brilliant and kind that they made me the American Service Fellow. So it's going to be wonderful.
Oh, that is great. That is great. I did a doctoral course there, Cambridge, Massachusetts. And so, you know, it's a school with a lot of history and, man, major street cred going there. But I want to talk about your work with veterans and begin to tell us about that, if you would, Dr. Friedman.
Absolutely. I'd like to just kind of share with all the listeners and viewers out there that I served 20 years in the military, as you mentioned in my bio, predominantly in special operations, multiple deployments to Iraq and Afghanistan. And I served predominantly throughout the entire time of the post 9/11, those 20 years. I started in 2000, finished in 2020. And the reality is that with all the combat deployments, I experienced trauma. And that's a part of war. It's processing the trauma. And what does that look like? You're dealing with PTSD. You're dealing with mild traumatic brain injury. You're dealing with insomnia, chronic pain. You're dealing with moral injury, all those things. And the fact is that everything kind of accumulates. And for me, I started struggling. And many Americans do not know that over 20 veterans take their lives every single day. I'm very, very passionate about trying to find a solution. Yeah. 20. So by the time that we get done with this radio show, one veteran will have taken their lives. And that's just a catastrophe. And it's an epidemic among our veteran community. And so this is a driving force. It's one thing to fight an enemy, terrorist enemy, an enemy that has to be stopped. It's another when, and one of my brothers pays the ultimate price, dying on that battlefield for the sake of American freedom and fighting for other people that can't fight for themselves against oppression. But it's another thing when they come back home and they bring the war home and they end up using the freedom that they're fighting for. They use their own freedom to take their freedom, and they take that act out of desperation and they take their lives. So that's what SOF Missions is about. We're here to combat the suicide epidemic, and we're doing it by force. And it's something that must be done.
Yeah, I'm trying to get my mind around that statistic. 20 veterans a day?
Yeah.
That is so tragic. I would warrant that 99% of Americans don't know that. By the way, folks, we're talking with Dr. Damon Friedman. You have a very renowned podcast yourself. Where can people learn about you and hear what you do, sir?
Yeah, so it's the Damon Friedman Show, the Real Life Network, kind of spearheaded by Pastor Jack Hibbs, started this incredible Real Life Network. Dwight Thompson, kind of the executive director of that.
We've had Jack Hibbs on this program, by the way, in times past.
Yeah, he's a great friend, a great Amen. Mentor. He's just a force to be reckoned with. And he just felt that the team just felt like my voice needed to be heard. And so I podcast things that are very important, specifically symptoms that a lot of these veterans are dealing with. But it's about empowering leaders to be the best version of themselves. So for me, I travel around the country. I'm a Premier Speakers Bureau speaker. Shout out to Premier. They put me on stage and give me a platform, especially even with Fortune 500 companies, not just faith-based events, to be able to share my story, which really revolves around how God radically changed and transformed my life and how he's using me as an unstoppable force for good. And how I'm doing it is through this organization, SOF Missions, where we provide free medical care to veterans. But I challenge leaders to be a force in this ugly world. We need hope and we need purpose. And so that's really my jam. And the Damon Friedman Show talks to leaders across the nation on what they're doing and how they are making an atomic impact.
Indeed. And let me ask you this, from coming out of a deployment to transitioning? I mean, what's the difference between the veterans that make a healthy transition back into civilian life and those that really hit a rough patch that could be, you know, potentially a disastrous rough patch?
So I think that there's two kinds of veterans, and I always have to be very careful because I don't want a certain population of veterans to feel marginalized, because at the end of the day, I want to make this point really clear. If you sign on the bottom line, you put on that uniform, you took that oath, and you defend your country, you did a great act. And you are part of a 1% of Americans that will never, ever do joining the military. It's one thing to serve in the United States military. It's another to deploy into combat. It's just, yeah, it's just a different process. Again, it's not marginalizing a community or population, right? A sacrifice is a sacrifice. It's just that when you start seeing and experiencing war, it changes a human being. We're talking about experiencing psychological trauma, physical trauma, spiritual trauma, just things that just change the makeup of who we are. And you ask the question, what's the difference between a successful transition and an unsuccessful transition? I will tell you right now, I thought that I was set up for success, my friend. I had a nonprofit waiting for me, doing SOF missions, doing a great purposeful act. I mean, meaningful impact, right? And the reality is that I was not prepared. And the way that you prepare properly is by having psychological, physical, social, and spiritual care, so that we can kind of figure out where is this trauma being processed. When we experience a traumatic experience, it's being processed in multiple domains. Humans have, you know, that psychological domain, that physical, that social, that spiritual. And so there's just these issues that lie in between. And we think we could just talk it through. It's not that way at all. We've got to be able to unpack things. And so it's about really addressing the challenges that we have been struggling with and finding solutions instead of hiding. A lot of veterans will just say, I'm good. I'm good. I'm resilient. And then we get out, and then you can see how we don't transition well. And it's quite obvious.
Wow. The voice you're hearing is Dr. Damon Friedman, doing great work for God and country. Hey, we've got to take a brief break. Can you hang on for another segment, Dr. Friedman?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm standing by, my friend.
Right on. Hey, what's your website?
Just go, please. It's DamonFriedman.com, and you learn everything about me and the work that I'm doing.
Friedman is spelled F-R-I-E-D-M-A-N. Hey, Alex McFarland here, the American Family Radio Network. We've got a brief break. Stay with us. We're going to be back with more after this on the Hamilton Corner.
As we watch world events unfold and fulfill Scripture, it's hard to believe anyone could doubt God and His Word are real. And yet there are so many who either question or completely refuse to believe it. The God Who Speaks is a 90-minute documentary that hits the doubt head-on with evidence that proves God is real and His Word is the ultimate authority. Watch it anytime and invite others to watch with you. Just visit stream.afa.net. That's stream.afa.net.
Hi, I'm Tim Moore, Senior Evangelist on Christ in Prophecy. Can you see the signs of the times multiplying all around? Jesus is coming back, and He doesn't want His people to be unprepared. To stay up to date about unfolding events and get a biblical perspective on the signs of the times, listen to Christ in Prophecy here on American Family Radio. Join us Sundays at 11 a.m. Central as we reveal the prophetic hope for those who believe in Jesus Christ, as well as the Bible's warning about God's coming wrath to those who don't yet know Him.
Caring for elderly parents. This is David Wheaton, host of The Christian Worldview. Caring for elderly parents can be tiring, inconvenient, and at times feel hopeless. But as you humble yourself before the Lord and His perfect will and ways, He will give you the grace, the supernatural power and perspective to do what He calls you to. Let's remember to follow the example of the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life a ransom for many." Hear a most recent Mother's Day program with my 92-year-old mother, my siblings, and two of my mom's caregivers at thechristianworldview.org, and then join us this weekend as Christian scholar Carl Truman joins us to discuss how the rejection of God degrades our humanity.
Listen to The Christian Worldview with David Wheaton, Saturday mornings at 8 Central on American Family Radio.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the program. We're going to resume our conversation with Dr. Damon Friedman in just a moment. But over the break, you might have heard the president of American Family Association, Tim Wildman, talking about biblical worldview. And one of the things that I really love, and we give God the glory as I travel the country, everywhere I go, literally everywhere I go, people talk about what American Family Radio means to them and the programming. And I mean, if I go through like the Atlanta airport or DFW in Dallas, almost always somebody will stop me and they'll say, oh, Alex, you know, we love AFR. There's a conference this summer called Activate. And let me encourage you, Google American Family Association, the Activate Summit. It's July 16 through 18. Some of the speakers are Dr. Jessica Peck, Bert Harper, Pastor Jeff Shreve. A lot of great speakers. I was one of the keynote speakers last summer. I'm not there this summer. I'm on the road, but it is a fantastic seminar on worldview. Because really, I mean, America is not going to be a vacuum. There will be some predominant worldview. And it needs to be the biblically informed worldview. And so the Activate Summit is fantastic. I would encourage you to consider. And the time to sign up, the window is closing, I believe. So that's going to be in July. You'll love Tupelo also, by the way. The other thing I want to say, our youth camps are starting. For 27 years, we've done summer youth camps. We talk about God and country, talk about the Christian faith. But we also talk to middle school, high school kids about being a citizen. What does it mean to be a good citizen in our United States of America? And the website for our camps is equipretreat.org. I'll be at all these camps. We start out in Montana in just a few weeks. So please be in prayer. And we have one camp, a new camp in Western North Carolina. Beautiful Brevard, North Carolina. And if you're in this part of the world, look at the cities. Most of the camps are sold out, but we've got some space in Brevard. And I tell parents and youth leaders, hey, invest a week that will count for a lifetime. And what a joy to see God working in the lives of thousands and thousands of young people. Keep us in prayer. Well, somebody else God is using to touch many lives is Dr. Damon Friedman. And I so appreciate the work he does for our veterans, because whenever I'm out, you know, very often you'll see like a man with a hat on, and maybe they were a Marine in, you know, some conflict. And I'll walk up to these people and say, hey, thank you for serving our country. And sometimes people almost get emotional and a tear might come to their eye. And I've had men say to me, because I'll say, hey, I see your insignia there. Thank you for serving America. And I've had a few guys, they'll say, you're the first person who's ever said that. And so I think that we can't do enough for those who put their lives on the line to keep America free. And somebody who's doing that, and I just have all the respect in the world for Dr. Damon Friedman. Welcome back. Thanks for being on the program tonight, Dr. Friedman. But let me say with the utmost sincerity, thank you for ministering to our veterans.
100%. Every American veteran deserves the absolute best. When they go out and they serve our country, they make a sacrifice that all Americans get to reap the rewards. We're the greatest country in all of the world because of the American veteran. And we want the American veteran to find peace. We want them to find hope. We want them to find purpose. And that's what we're here to do. We're here to take care of them. Approximately 20 million veterans are in the United States. And there's just not enough resources out there. What happens when, especially all of my brothers and sisters who come back from the war, post 9/11, it's 20 years with the war, the longest war in history. And right now we have an epidemic of over 20 veterans take their lives every single day. There's not enough resources. There's not enough programs. There's not enough. Do you think that this pains God? 100 billion% it does. God wants us to find peace. God wants us to find joy. And you know what? That American veteran, that made that sacrifice, and some of them pay the ultimate sacrifice, which is laying their life on the line, paying the ultimate sacrifice of giving their lives. There's just, the implications are so huge. We got to take care of the men and women who put on that uniform, sir. You know what I mean?
Indeed. Do you have any advice for churches, how churches could do outreach to our veterans?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's interesting that you're asking me this question right now. If you go to churches and they look and you look at their missions field, rarely do you ever find the veteran community. And so I think that right now on AMR, I'm going to say this, Alex, if you're a church right now and that you're listening to this right now, ask yourself, are you providing the level of support? Is the veteran community part of your mission field? And if they're not, ask yourself, why shouldn't they be? We take care of homelessness. We take care of children who have no homes. We take care of addiction. We take care of women in shelters. We take care of all of these people. But what about the American veteran? Why not? Why can't we just have this focus on them, especially with states that lots of veterans are in, Texas, California, North Carolina, Virginia, Florida, those kind of things. We should definitely make the veteran community a mission field because they're part of the unreached people group, very much like the 1040 window, if you just think about it. And they're right here in America, right outside your front door.
Wow. Powerful, powerful. I got to ask you about the war in Iran right now. You know, during the break, you and I were talking about some things that probably a little bit classified. But, you know, first of all, how many of our fighting men and women are in Iran at this point? Do you know?
So I can't, I cannot verify exactly how many men and women are there. But I will tell you that there's a lot of conflict surrounding the actual war. And we know that Iran, 100%, they're an enemy of the United States. They're the enemy of the free world, period. Yeah. The real question is how much involvement should the American, you know, should America be involved in? At the end of the day, we fought these wars here in Afghanistan. We fought it in Iraq, all these wars in the Middle East. There's got to be a point in time when the people fight for themselves. It's one of the reasons why we empower Israel to fight within the Middle East. And so I'm just sharing my two cents on this one. I as an American, don't want to get involved in any more wars. This is just my personal opinion. Do we need to take Iran out? Did the leaders deserve to die? 100 billion percent they deserve to die. Yeah. They do. They are the capital. Yeah. They're the head of tyranny throughout the world, and somebody has to take them out. I think for a veteran who served 20 years predominantly in the war, I just think that we need a little bit of breathing room. Now, I'm not saying, I'm not going against what the president of the United States is doing. I think that his actions are reasonable and the actions taken are justified. I just ask myself, does America have to be as involved the way that we're doing? There's many ways that we can accomplish this. And, and you know, as a special operator, I always navigate the battlefield in a very different way than conventional forces. And that's what I like to share about that.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much. You know, with all the technology, it's definitely a different world.
Yes.
And let's just talk about national security. In your opinion, how is national security today different than, say, it would have been 20, 25 years ago?
So I'm going to tell you right now, okay, and this is very important for all of our listeners. There is a 9/11 attack being planned every single day. Every single day. The reality is, when Pearl Harbor, when we were attacked and the beginning of World War II, when we got involved, and then you fast forward into 9/11, September 11, 2001, these things are being planned all the time by terrorists, all the time by our enemy. So when it comes to national security, when it comes to protecting our borders, we have to be more diligent today than ever, because now the space is no longer just the ocean. It's not just the water. It's not just the land. It's not just the air. It's space, brother. And we're living in a time when it's becoming more dangerous than ever. That's why Space Force stood up. A lot of people kind of laughed, right? Air Force, you know, and space, like Space Force. But the fact is that Star Trek is coming, my friend. It's already here. Star Wars is already present. So we have to protect our borders all the way out throughout space.
Yeah, and securing the borders, my goodness. I'll just put it this way. I've spoken in many, many towns of like Southwest Texas, Nevada, Arizona, like the lower Southwest, and I've met with a lot of people in positions of leadership that were very, very concerned. I mean, almost panic level concerned with the amount of illegals coming across our southern border.
This is dangerous, Alex. And yeah, I know that there are a lot of different opinions. And the fact is that the previous administration, there are more terrorists, people who are so dangerous, criminals that crossed over the border. Now, listen, I'm not being a MAGA guy. I'm an individual that loves my country, believes in protecting my country. And whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, whether you are a strong, hardcore believer or an atheist, you should, living in America, you should have pride in making sure that our country remains free for the people that live here. So our borders right now are more protected than ever, and I'm grateful for what the president's doing. And yes, we've got a lot of illegals in our country right now, and I think that we're more vulnerable than we've ever been because the previous administration allowed these people to come on in, and we have to be more vigilant than we ever have. And I support a lot of the deportation that's going on right now, and it's unfortunate that it's occurring the way it is, because I do believe that our countries should be receiving immigrants, because that's how our America became great. But there should be a process,
exactly, and
a process that protects our country. There should be a process, very much like all of our forefathers did. We established a process, and we did it in order to protect our American way of life and the people that live here.
Yeah, exactly. You know, Dr. Friedman, one of the things that I've done over the last 20 years, I've taught, and one of the subjects is political science. And, you know, political theorists going back to, you know, Plato at 200 BC, the first responsibility of a just government is to look after the welfare of the citizens. Now, There can be benevolence and immigration, but whether it be, we're going back to ancient Israel, ancient Greece, ancient Rome, certainly Europe. I mean, a just government looks after the welfare of the citizens. And suffice it to say, the previous administration and similar ones, that was not the number one priority. So let me ask you this. Besides terrorists with schemes and plans, I was distraught over the amount of illegal drugs crossing the borders, northern and southern.
Yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous. And I don't understand how the previous administration could not identify that and how destructive it is. I mean, let's just let everybody in, because we're America. We're the greatest country. We're just going to let everybody in and everything come in. It blows my mind, because that's not the way that I love you quoting Plato, because what he said was absolutely true. We have to look over our first and foremost priorities to take care of our citizens of this great nation. Yeah, you're indeed on point, brother. You are on point.
Well, I love America. I do. You know, my home is heaven, but I'm a Christian first, but I'm certainly a patriot. And I appreciate you so much. We're running out of time. I want you to, your social media platforms, website, digital content. Yeah. Where can people
absolutely
find
you? Yeah, I would just like to say, I got this book coming out right now, 2nd June, available on Amazon, and it's called The Special Warfare CEO.
Okay.
Right here, this is my life's work, and it directly reflects and supports my initiatives of being a veteran advocate and providing that free medical care to veterans. This right here is all my lessons learned as a special operations leader, as a commander, as a nonprofit leader, and in corporate and government leadership. And it empowers individuals to be the best version of themselves right here from the trenches, my friend. Special Warfare CEO on Amazon today. It launches 2nd June, but you can order, and it supports our work, and I greatly appreciate it, my friend.
Congratulations on the book release.
Thank you.
Did you publish that with Broad Street?
I did, Broad Street, and I got I'm grateful
they're
for them.
Fantastic.
Believing in me. Yeah, absolutely,
Our other show, Exploring the Word, Bert Harper and I have done three books with Broad Street on Bible questions. You know, thousands of listeners call in, and they are top drawer. We love the folks at Broad Street Publishing. Fantastic Christian organization. So give your website, Dr. Friedman, please.
Yeah, so you just go to damonfriedman.com and you'll learn everything about me and the work and the initiatives that I'm having. And I'm just grateful for being a patriot and being a voice, empowering leaders to be an unstoppable force for good. That's what I do. There's a dark and broken world, and I'm about empowering leaders so that they're problem solvers, because we need more people that love God, love our country, and actually action something out there so that they can be an unstoppable force for good. And I appreciate this time, Alex. I'm a big fan of AMR. You're doing some great work, and I hope to be back on your show again, man. I really am.
God bless you. Thanks very much. And folks, we're free because of the protection of God, but the investment of our veterans as well. So thank a veteran. Pray for America. Blessings to you all.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.